The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Jesus came in and lifted me up and held me close. And I will never follow anybody else because I know his voice. If you feel like you're a bit of a bummer lamb and that you don't deserve grace, the whole point of grace is you can't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It's God's gift to you and me.
Grace, pearls, and living a Yes, Lord life. Next on Life Today.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh. You know, I was reflecting last night that it's about 6 years since my mum went home to be with Jesus. And, you know, I still find myself every now and again thinking I could pick up the phone and call her, or I'll be in a store and I'll see something that she loved. She loved red cardinals. And I remember seeing a sweater and thinking, oh, mum would love that. And then remembering she doesn't need earthbound sweaters anymore. I just don't think you're ever quite ready to say goodbye to your mum. But I was thinking about the legacy of having a godly mother. And if you didn't have a godly mother, then my heart really aches for you. Perhaps you had a difficult situation with your mom. And if that's your story, then I'm really sorry. But I wanted to share with you some of the gifts that my mom left me. They weren't a lot in terms of money. They were priceless. You know, I have three items that I brought home from Scotland. After my mum passed and my sister Frances and I were going through all my mum's stuff and cleaning things out, and Frances said, you know, what do you want to take back to America? And so there was three things that I picked out. One was, the first one I'm going to show you is my mum's Bible. She was given that Bible when she was 12 years old. And the thing I loved about my mum's Bible is that written in the back in her handwriting, I want to make sure I get it right, she'd written, grace is undeserved favor. It is love stooping. And there's just something about knowing that my mom is just a little girl was beginning to understand the reality of what grace looks like. She would have no idea how much she needed to understand that in the years that came. You know, my father had a massive brain aneurysm and went from being a loving husband to being a frightening person in our home. But the thought that I had my mum's Bible and at 12, she wrote down that grace is love stooping. It's such a picture of who our Lord really is. You know, I've had the privilege of working quite a bit with Dr. David Jeremiah, and they have a project called The Nativity. And we were talking about the fact that, you know, there's so much about what happened on that first Christmas that's outrageous. Even the fact that the angels gave the announcement to the shepherds. Shepherds were the most looked down on in that culture. They weren't allowed to be a witness in court. If they were walking through the streets in Nazareth or Jerusalem or Bethlehem, rather than on the hillside, people would throw fruit at them and spit at them. They were the most despised. They were looked on as simple and unclean, a huge no-no for Jewish people. But God decided to send this outrageous announcement to the shepherds, such a declaration coming to the lowest of the low, to the ones who feel, I'm not worth it. I am not worthy. That's who the announcement was made. The people who would never be on anybody's guest list for a party, they were on God's guest list. If you ever feel like you don't quite measure up to everybody, you know, maybe even in church or in your Bible study or women's group, you look around and you think, I'm not going to say a word because they know so much more than I do. No, you need to remember that Christ did not come to a palace to rule. He came as a tiny, fragile baby to two young teenagers, and the announcements went out to the shepherds. It's quite amazing. And that's why I think I love my mum's Bible so much. The little notes that she's written, little flowers that she's pressed in it through the years. But this idea that grace is unmerited favor. On one of our trips in Thailand, we were in Bangkok, and we were working with some girls in an area where their homes, which are rough shacks at the best of time, there had been a terrible storm. And so many of them had lost roofs, they'd lost the door. It was an alarming sight to me that people were actually living in there and little children. And right next door, there was this large Buddhist temple. And my question to our translator that we were working with was, do you think they ever think of taking some of the wealth that they have and sharing it with those who are literally on their doorstep? And the answer was very straightforward, no. The poor do not deserve our help. If they will take the little they have and give it to us as the priests, then perhaps next time they will be reincarnated into a better life. It's called karma. Grace is the antithesis of karma. We get what we don't deserve, rather than us having to reach up to a God who felt unreachable. Christ came, God reached down to you and to me, love stooping. If you've known me for more than 10 minutes, you'll know, because I've shared it before on this program, but I learned something fresh recently. You know that I have a great affinity to bummer lambs. Those are the lambs that are born and immediately rejected by their mother for numerous reasons. Sometimes the mother will give birth to three lambs and will only take care of two and one will be rejected. Or sometimes it's just one lamb and the mother refuses to have anything to do with it. And then, you know, the shepherd intervenes and takes care of that lamb. What I didn't realize until recently, a friend from Australia wrote to me and she said, you know, the interesting thing about bummer lambs is before the shepherd takes them in, you think they have broken necks. And I wrote back to her and I said, why? And she said, because their heads are bowed so low. Their heads are just bowed as if their necks were broken. And the shepherd comes in and lifts them up and cares for them. And then those little bummer lambs, when they're healthy enough to be with the rest of the flock, when the shepherd will come out in the morning and call for the sheep, the bummer lambs are the first to run to him because they know his voice. I love that. That's what Jesus did for me. At my lowest, when it looked like my neck was broken, when my head was on my knees on the floor in a psychiatric hospital, Jesus came in and lifted me up and held me close. And I will never follow anybody else because I know his voice. If you feel that you're a bit of a bummer lamb and that you don't deserve grace, the whole point of grace is you can't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It's God's gift to you and me. I remember reading Chuck Swindoll's book. He has this great book called The Grace Awakening. And he talks about that first Christmas morning and the first time that the baby Jesus opened his eyes, grace was awoken. And I think that's something that I want you to get deep inside, that you will never have to earn the favor of God, that he reaches down and he lifts us up. One of the other things that I brought home, because for me, this gift, it's the pearls that my mum wore on her wedding day. And I love them. As you can see, they're in a very old box, you know, you can, but that's how my dad gave them to my mum to wear on her wedding day. And I love them and treasure them. And to me, the gift of the pearls is this. It's the gift of tough times. Now, I admit we don't always think tough times, yay, what a gift. But I have to tell you, when Christ is with you in the midst of tough times, it's a gift. Do you know how a pearl is formed? It's when a grain of sand will somehow get into the soft flesh of an oyster and it will irritate the soft flesh. And so what the oyster does inside is it will coat that grain of sand with saliva, with calcium. And after sometimes up to 3 years, a perfect pearl will be formed. But it's something that's been born out of suffering. I love the fact that I read a story, let me get the date wrong, if you ever want to look it up, on May the 2nd, 2012, in Decision Magazine, the Billy Graham organization, Kendra Graham, who is Will Graham is Dr. Graham's grandson, his wife Kendra told a story about making pearls. And I found it really fascinating, and it just strengthened everything that I believe. They have a daughter, one of their girls is dyslexic, which has made life a little harder for her at school. But a few nights before Kendra shares this particular incident, they had been watching a movie on TV about sea life, about what goes on under the surface of the ocean. And there had been some description of how oysters are made. And so one day, Kendra was watching her daughter struggling with her homework. And she said it should have taken her 10 minutes, but it was taking her over an hour. It's so frustrating for her. And she threw her pencil at the wall. And as a mum, you know, you just ache for your children. You want them to be okay. And so her mum called from the other room, you know, it's okay, I'll be there in a minute and I'll help you. And this is what her daughter, who was 8 years old at the time, said. No, mum, it's okay. I'm making pearls in here. That is such a shift for me in terms of understanding suffering, that you might find yourself in a place right now where you are really struggling. You're struggling financially. You're struggling in your marriage. Whatever it is, your job, your career, your health, your physical health, you're just struggling. And you think, Lord, where are you? I just want to invite you to be open to this idea that just as a grain of sand irritates the flesh of an oyster, and eventually this beautiful pearl is formed, that maybe you could start to look at your life that way. After I read that story some time ago, I remember probably the beginning half of 2020 when I was really struggling with depression again, finding it really hard to get out of bed in the morning and just not feeling good at all. And I got up and I went outside on our balcony, and I was just sitting there quietly in the presence of the Lord. And I felt this gentle reminder from the Holy Spirit. You know, Sheila, do you remember? You remember what you read? You remember what that little 8-year-old girl taught you? And I'd been outside for a while. And so Barry, my husband, poked his head out and he said, are you okay out there? Because he knew I'd been kind of down over the past few days. And I looked at him and I smiled and I said, yep. I'm making pearls out here. See, we get to do that. Because of Jesus, we get to do that. I think that's why I love my mom's pearls so much, because she went through so much suffering. But because of what she wrote in the back of her Bible as a 12-year-old girl, she knew that in love and grace, the Lord reaches down to us. And in every situation, we get to be making pearls. In fact, I found this... Where is it? I love this. Revelation 21, verse 21. This is when John has been given this revelation of what's going to happen. And he sees in this the holy city, Jerusalem, descending. And here's what it says. There are 12 gates to the city, and each gate is made up of one pearl. It must be an enormous pearl. But to me, it signifies the suffering that Christ was willing to go through. He made pearls every single step he took on this earth until the final on the cross, when he paid the bill for you and he paid the bill for me. So if you find yourself in a tough situation, just say to yourself, I'm making pearls here. The third thing of my mom's that I absolutely love, and it was kind of a funny thing, because we were going through all my mom's stuff, my sister and I, and, you know, she said to me, Sheila, you're supposed to have my mom's engagement ring. And we couldn't find it, and then realized my mom had given it to another resident of the home she was staying in. She'd swapped it for a box of chocolates. And, you know, the matron was like, oh, I'm so sorry, Sheila, we can get that back for you. And I was like, no, if my mom enjoyed this darling woman's chocolates, then she can keep the ring. Because that didn't have as much value to me as this did. This little picture here you see on your screen, my mom had that above her bed all my life. Even if we changed homes, that little small picture hung above her bed. Two words, yes, Lord. And when I was a teenager and thought I knew more than I ever knew, I would say to her, you know, Mom, I like that, but you don't know what you're saying yes to. And she would just look at me with these kind, big brown eyes, and she'd say, no, Sheila, but I know who I'm saying yes to. I treasure that picture so much because it reminds me of the joy of living a yes, Lord, life. Our funeral traditions are very different in Scotland from the ones I've experienced here in America. When my husband Barry's mum and dad passed, you know, there was an official viewing and it was quite a thing over 2 or 3 days. But in Scotland, it's very simple. Once someone has passed, they're just put in a simple, plain pine box and that's sealed. But I flew over from the States and asked if it would be possible for me to see my mum one last time. And they were very kind and they said, yeah, we can do that. And it wasn't because I thought my mum was there. I knew my mum was home celebrating with Jesus. I just wanted to kind of kneel beside her casket and say, well done, Mum. Well done. You made pearls your whole life and now you're finally safely home. There's something so beautiful about living a yes, Lord, life. So I want to remind you of the three gifts that my mum gave me, and hopefully there's something tucked in there for you too. That grace is unmerited favor, it's love stooping to where you are and lifting your head up, raising you up, holding you close, speaking to you so that you'll never follow another voice. And the pearls, my mom's pearls, that pearls are born from suffering. And so too, you and I will go through things that we would not have signed up for, but we're promised the Lord's presence in the middle of them. So if you're in a tough place today, just say to yourself, it's okay. The Lord's with me and I'm making pearls. And then just like my mom, every single morning in life, got up with that little picture over her bed. Yes, Lord. You know, you can only do that when you know who you're saying yes to. Because that's such it's a life of trust and faith. But I want you to know, He is trustworthy and He is faithful. I gave my life to Christ when I was 11. I read this morning that the gentleman who led me to Christ has finally made it all the way home to heaven. He spent his life sharing the grace of God, making pearls, and living a yes, Lord, life. And you know, when you do that, it changes everything. It changes how you see your life and what's important and what doesn't matter. One of the things that's always been so important to all of us here at Life Today is our Water for Life campaign. It's horrifying. I just read recently the statistics of the number of people in our world who have zero access to clean water. Such a basic human need. And the thought of so many mothers that I've met who have had to lay their little ones in the ground simply because they got a waterborne illness from contaminated water. And that's why we want to say, in Jesus' name, we want to change that. And I want to ask you to help us. It's one of those things, you know, there's all sorts of ways of making pearls. You can make pearls by welcoming Christ into the midst of your suffering. You can also make pearls in terms of reaching out, even in your own struggles, to touch the life of someone else, living a yes, Lord, life. So I want you to watch something with me, and then I'm going to tell you how you and I can make a huge difference in the lives of many whose only request is a cup of clean water. Would you watch this?
Sheila, I've known you for years and I absolutely love you. I think the thing that I love the most is your heart for people and especially for broken people. I know that together we can relate to so many places we've been with Life Outreach. We've heard some pretty heartbreaking stories, and here's another one today. I want you to hear about it.
The way it started with my child, he became sick. because we use this dirty water. So I took him to a hospital. But because it was very far away from here, my child lost a lot of blood. All they could say at the hospital was that he had a lack of blood. In the end, he died. His name was Ellis.
How old was he?
Yes, Manga.
I wasn't like that.
He was 3 years old.
I know it's hard for you to continue to share your story and talk about your loss. But I'm gonna take this story and I'm gonna be able to share it with people that I believe can help you and that can bring clean water to you and your family, the rest of your children, and this entire village. Thank you so much for allowing God to do something with the broken pieces of your life and believing and trusting that help is on the way. I believe it is.
We cannot let Alice's death be for nothing. We can't let that darling 3-year-old little boy who lost his life. There's so much about when you drink contaminated water, you know, it gives you all sorts of diseases. He could, you know, probably have been vomiting and vomiting up blood and then simply have no strength left at all. And these moms that we meet over and over and over again in so many of the 20 nations where we work, you just see the grief etched into their faces. I mean, how do you ever get over something like that? You don't. But what I feel, and the staff feel this too here at Life Today, is there's an accountability once you know. You know, there's a lot of things in the world that I don't know about. But the things that the Lord has given me the privilege of knowing, I am responsible for making sure that we keep telling their story. As Tammy said, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tell your story. We are committed here to making sure that every other little Ellis in villages has a chance for a proper life. You know, we've been able to drill so many wells over the years. But the need is great, and honestly, the need is specifically great at the moment. There's so much drought, so even when people dig, sometimes they're not even hitting water. And it's not like, you know, some people say, well, why can't they just walk somewhere else? So many of the women I met, they get up at like 4 o'clock in the morning and walk a long, long way to where there is at least some water source. But in so many of the villages, the water is filthy. We can change that. That's the thing. That's why I don't despair, because I think if there was nothing we could do, how would we cope? But there's a lot we can do. So here's the deal. We're praying and planning to drill 350 new wells in over 20 nations this year. And here's how that breaks down for you and for me. The average cost of a well that will go down deep and last for the whole life of the village is about $4,800. Some of you can do that. Some of you have done that. And if you've done that, thank you, thank you. And let's do it again. But could you do $48? $48 will give clean water for 10 people for their life. Think of how easily $48 disappears. You go see a movie and get popcorn and it's gone. But it could give life to 10 people. $144 will give clean water to 30 people for the rest of their lives. This is just, it's not a, oh gosh, will you do it? It's, let's do this. I mean, the Lord has given us so much. So let's reach out. Let's think of something we could skip, something we don't need, get rid of it for something they can't live without. So please, will you go to your phone? Will you just call the number on your screen and give the very best gift you can. Go online and let's together bring hope and healing. Let's take that dirty cup away from them and let's replace it with a cup of clean water in Jesus' name.
Across the globe, hundreds of thousands of lives are lost each year to waterborne disease, and nearly half of those are children under the age of five. Through Mission Water for Life, you can give mothers hope and children a future as we provide clean, life-giving water for thousands of children and their families before it's too late. With your gift today, you can help drill and establish 350 water wells this year. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for five children. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10. $72 will provide for 15. And $144 will help provide life-giving water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift of any amount, we'll send you the God's Daily Promise devotional set. These four seasonal devotionals each contain a daily scripture, inspirational message, and room to journal your prayers and insights from God's Word. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the Faith, Hope, and Love coaster set. All four beautiful sandstone coasters come in an elegant natural wood holder and artistically display the words of 1 Corinthians 13:13. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
These ladies have told us this is their only water source. This sort of river that flows through next to their village here is the only place they can get water from. And I think you might be watching this as a mother, and you're saying, how can those mothers give their children that water? I would never give my child water like that. Yeah, you wouldn't, unless that water was the only water that your child could have. But it's so easy for us to change that. You see, if we put a water well here, if we bring Mission Water for Life to this village and we drill a water well, what we can do is instantly change the condition in this village and stop mothers from having to come down and take dirty, disease-filled water back to their families. So please go to the phone right now, dial that number on your screen and give the best gift that you can give. You give the gift of life, give the gift of water.
Thank you. Isn't it great? Don't you think it's amazing that we're given this privilege of being able to do this? So many of you write and say, I wish I could come with you, and I can't. But we bring these situations right to your home and say, here's the privilege. Here's what we can do. So maybe even talk over as a family. What could we skip this week to be able to respond to this urgent need? If you haven't called yet, please keep calling. Just know that we love you and thank you for being who you are. And we'll see you next time on Life Today.
So I've been in places in the last 5 years where it felt like there was no way through.
Anne Boskamp, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.